Welcome back. Tonight, we're with the Michelle Canning Band, recorded live from the Arts Place Performance Hall in Lexington, Kentucky. This is Red Barn Radio.
I don't know that we've ever met before. Is this your first time on Red Barn Radio?
Yeah. Not my first time in the building, though.
When were you here in this building?
Actually, I was with a duo called the Tea Lights. We played for the Old Time Festival.
Tell us about your path to Moorhead.
I was born there.
Oh, okay.
So it was a short path. People at MSU, they're always like, where are you from? And I'm like, here. And they're like, why did you live in a dorm? And I didn't have a car, so I didn't want to cross a creek in the winter. Wandered down past Main Street and found the Traditional Music Center.
All right.
Yeah, not so a long path.
That was really more my question, yeah. I guess. What about the path to the traditional music program?
So I'm a townie. The building used to be our public library where I spent all my time because I don't have friends. And they shut the library down and moved it. And forever, I was like, Mom, what's that building? I was like a kid. Mom was like, I don't know. It says Kentucky Center for Traditional Music. And I was like, well, I don't like it because that was the library. They ruined it. There's a coffee shop in town that Grant Alden runs. And I was playing there at open mics. And he's like, you should introduce yourself to Raymond McLean. And I was like, who's that? And he was like, he's the director at the Traditional Music Center. I was like, I don't want to go down there because they ruined the library.
Yeah, right.
But eventually I went and auditioned and they let me in for some reason.
What did you audition on? What instrument?
Guitar?
Okay.
I think.
Is that your principal instrument?
Mandolin is my
major.
Is.
Oh, yeah. All right. Are you actually majoring, doing your BA
in traditional music?
In traditional music, yeah. And with a focus on mandolin?
Mm-hmm. All it's right. Funny because my dad gave me this big lecture like dads do, and he's like, you need to pick a minor that's going to help you. And so I'm minoring in jazz music.
Oh.
The other music building on campus. So I just really don't want to make money when I'm older.
Yeah, right. At least you weren't minoring in like the pan flute or something.
That'd be silly. I'm not doing that.
You hear the talk all over town, and you know how quick word spreads around. Oh, there's always people who don't like what you do. But girl, there's more who love you. Sparkle on, show the world that you're proud to be a girl. Oh, you're pretty as you are. But your makeup, high heel get up, makes you strong. Sparkle on, sparkle on. Old blue jeans and a big t-shirt. For a lot of girls, that would work. But if it don't make you feel beautiful inside, we'll zip you in that dress nice and tight. Sparkle on, show the world that you're proud to be a girl. Oh, you're pretty as you are. With your makeup, high heel get up, makes you strong. Sparkle on.
Jesse Wells is Tyler Childers' fiddle player, and his wife was my elementary school music teacher. And then middle school, I had Nick Diedrichson for band, and then high school, Amanda Wells moved there. So, but I've noticed recently, the elementary school that I go to, I didn't see on their website that they have a music teacher. And so, with everything that's going on in Kentucky, there's not a lot of music teachers at the elementary school level where I'm from, so...
Amanda's over at Lafayette now, I think, in
Scapa.
Or Scapa, right.
I think.
Yeah, right. That's Scapa, Lafayette. She could probably help you find some work, I bet. So, Aaron, why do they call you Frosty?
I really don't have a cool story, and I need to make one up. What it was is my roommate now, his name is Josh Mead. I went to East Tennessee State University in Johnson City. Similar program. Raymond was, we'd figured it out. My first semester was your last semester at ETSU.
Yeah, Kentucky stole him from there.
Yeah.
Right.
I scared him off. They didn't even know me, but I guess. But... one of the first people I met there was Josh Mead, and he's my roommate now, and we've played a lot of music together. And my last name was Foster, and it was like, I don't know, 3 a.m. on a Saturday, and he was like, he asked me if I wanted to go to Waffle House, but he said, Frosty, do you want to go to Waffle House? And I didn't respond to him, but he just started calling me Frosty because my last name was Foster, and I'm from New York where it's supposed to be cold, I guess. And
oh, okay.
Another group of people there heard him say it, and it started there, and now it goes to the point where my professors at ETSU didn't call me my name. They called me Frosty, so... Well, that's kind of how it started, I guess.
There's a story there. I think you could develop that a little bit.
I know, I want to make it about wrestling a polar bear and winning, you know?
Yeah, right. You could do that, and everybody would believe it. You're from upstate New York, where?
I'm from Wellsbridge, New York. The opposite side of New England, I guess, would be, what, Buffalo or something like that?
Or but Binghamton.
I'm about 40 minutes north.
East
of Binghamton, yeah.
Right, on 88, right?
Exit 12 and 88, yeah.
That great 88 road where there are never any cars on it.
I love that road. Yeah, it's great. There are never any cars on it, and that's why they don't do construction on it, and that's why you can ruin your suspension just driving to Oneonta.
Oh, really?
It's pretty rough. It's a rough ride.
How is it that bluegrass music came into your life living in boondocks of New York?
It was my grandparents. My grandparents were... fans of bluegrass music, and they, on a whim, I guess went to a bluegrass festival sometime in the 80s, and they met the Boys from Indiana, if you guys don't know who the Boys from Indiana are, they're great songwriters and entertainers in bluegrass music history, and Before they knew it, they were so close with them that they were like running the Boys from Indiana suite at IBMA in Kentucky, IBMA being the big International Bluegrass Music Association convention. They have lots of cool stories about, you know, running that suite with, like, you know, all of my heroes in the same room at the same time, and they've got photographs, you know, and photo albums that I have to go through, and some of them are in focus, some of them aren't, but you can still tell that it's Jimmy Martin in the room, or, you know, whoever it may be. They started taking me to festivals when I was in diapers. I don't even remember my first bluegrass festival. I think back as hard as I can, and I think my first memory was the Peaceful Valley Bluegrass Festival in Schinhoppel, New York, eating an ice cream cone with my granddad watching Jim and Jesse play. And I remember being really shy at that festival. Jim McReynolds came up to me and was trying to get me to, you know, get on his shoulder or something, and I was so shy, but I was so starstruck. It was the first time I remember being real starstruck. And, you know, they're really, as a kid, you know, they had the hair slicked back, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah,
and it was
right.
Like, and the suit and ties. Everything about them was godly in a way, you know? So
yeah.
As a little kid, I was a little shy, and I wish I could go back to that time and climb Jim, you know? But,
yeah.
And then they ran into the Gibson brothers. The Gibson brothers are from Plattsburgh area of New York,
yeah.
You know, upstate New York. They kind of took me under my wing when I started playing, because when I was 10 years old, I was going to these festivals, and after the show was over, there was nothing literally left for me to do, but I saw all these people picking at the, you know, their campers and stuff, and I was like, you know, I'd like to participate in that so I don't have to do nothing and you just go to bed or whatever. I asked for Christmas that year for a guitar, and Eric Gibson picked me out a Alferez RD8, and my grandparents bought it at... I think it's Dick's Country Store and Music Oasis in Cherubusco, New York. They picked it up for me, got it for Christmas, and fast forward, here I am.
So, wow.
Yeah.
He's home, tired, sad, and lonely. She's been gone now nearly a year. He finds comfort looking at old photos, but pictures can't replace her. His son stops by, he sees his grandkids. Oh, he loves them, but he don't know their names. He reads a card that says memory grows took him away.
Sarah Kate, you've been on here before. We've talked many times, and so I hope I'll have something fresh to ask. You know, I don't know that many of us have ever seen the dulcimer played as a lead instrument. You know, when you started playing dulcimer and once you realized you were really good at it, did you set out to just be the best traditional dulcimer player ever, or did you ever imagine that you might sort of innovate with that instrument?
Well, I had a lot of folks that encouraged me to go beyond the traditional style, traditional, whatever that means. You know, and the dulcimer in and of itself is a very young instrument. It's not an instrument that has hundreds and hundreds of years of history that backs up how we're supposed to play this instrument. In many, many ways, the dulcimer is still evolving. And so people are building in lots of different styles. People are playing in lots of different styles. In terms of what I do is just part of the process of evolving this instrument.
Do you ever imagine that at some point, for instance, you might, have you ever plugged it in, ever done anything like that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, tell me.
My dulcimer has the capability to be electric. I've got a pickup on it. And there's lots of folks that, like, are building solid-body electric dulcimers, which is wild. It's not what necessarily what I want to invest my time in, but there's lots of folks that are doing that. And, yeah, it's an exciting time.
Honestly, I think I would have assumed that the dulcimer was an ancient instrument.
It started as sort of the ingenuity of immigrants coming from Germany and Austria from several different instruments that are in the zither family. And when they immigrated to America, they didn't necessarily have the resources to replicate those really complex instruments. And so they sort of used what they had in their memories of these instruments back home, and the dulcimer sort of evolved from those instruments.
Yeah. What other instruments do you play?
I play upright bass. I play upright bass, and I'm learning guitar. Yeah.
Any other instruments to which the sort of dulcimer technique transferred, you know, easily?
My strumming hand has really transitioned into playing guitar really well because, you know, playing dulcimer requires a lot of strumming. It's a very strummy instrument. So
yeah,
I've developed
right.
a strong right hand, and that has sort of shifted onto mound dulcimer, or guitar rather.
Have you ever hammered?
No, I have not played hammer dulcimer.
I'm surprised.
It's funny that you mentioned that because hammer dulcimer and mountain dulcimer are two different instruments.
Yes.
They have absolutely zero in common.
Well, they have the same name. They both are called dulcimers.
Yeah. The hammer dulcimer is an ancient Persian instrument that is the precursor to the piano. It's one of the oldest instruments in the world. And the mountain dulcimer is one of the newest instruments in the world. It's an Appalachian instrument. But I think people just looked in the Bible, and the dulcimer is mentioned in the Bible. So throughout history, there's been lots of different instruments that have been called dulcimer. There's a lyre kind of instrument that used to be called the dulcimer. And the dulcimer, the word itself means sweet sound in Greek. So lots of different instruments have been called it. Just right now in 2020, this just happens to be the dulcimer.
Yay. Well, that's pretty neat. I learned something new tonight. How recently did you become the very best in the world?
Oh, I don't know about that. Well, I mean, it was quite a while ago. It was back in 2010. I was the 2012, sorry, the 2012 National Mountain Dulcimer Championship, and it was a really fun experience. It really made me practice and really hone my skills at that time.
Was that in the South, or was that out in Winfield, Kansas?
It was Winfield, Kansas, at the National Flat Picking Competitions, and they
have
banjo and fiddle and guitar and
everything,
all kinds
right.
of things, and dulcimers included.
That's a really, really good contest to win.
Don't you tell me that it hurt you that day, that you just lost all the feelings you had. You're sorry that it all ended this way, that you never meant to make me feel bad. Then you picked me up off my feet and made me fly like a bird. You stole away. Girl.
like to thank the Michelle Canning Band for being with us this evening. We also thank our volunteers for their help with our production each week. Very special thank goes out to Nick Lazaroff for his terrific production photography. And thank you all for listening to our webcast, watching us on YouTube Live, and those listening to us on the Red Barn Network of Stations. Thanks to WEKU, Red Barn Radio's official radio partner, Public Radio for Central and Eastern Kentucky. Listen online at weku.fm. It's your chance to hear more great live Kentucky music from Red Barn Radio and WEKU. Last but far from least, we also thank the members of our studio audience for supporting the mission of Red Barn Radio, which strives to present, promote, preserve, and share the rich musical magic of this Kentucky region. Red Barn Radio comes to you from our home, the Arts Place Performance Hall in downtown Lexington, Kentucky. Our website has updates and further information on our guests and our program. We're on the web at redbarnradio.com. Tickets for Red Barn Radio are now available at eventbrite.com, Lexington. And now, once again, give it up for the Michelle Canning Band here on the Red Barn stage.
Chin. Grandpa says I look like him, and Mommy cries, 'cause I got her eyes. Oh, tell me, do you see the reflection of your love? Your love goes with me everywhere. Make new friends along the way. More pieces falling into place, shaping me, daring me to dream. I hope you realize every time you see that sparkle in my eye, the very best of me is a collection of the memories. Each one a puzzle piece, it's who I am. Everything I'm gonna be, oh, how you shine in me. Looking at my life, it's plain to see the reflection of your love shining in me. The very best of me is a collection of the memories. Each one a puzzle piece, it's who I am. And everything I'm gonna be, oh, how you shine in me. Oh, how you shine in me. Oh, how you shine in me.
Thank you all so much.
Red Barn Radio would like to thank Michelle, Elizabeth, Aaron, and Sarah, the Michelle Canning Band, for being with us tonight. Red Barn Radio's official radio partner is WEKU, Public Radio for Central and Eastern Kentucky. Listen online at weku.fm. Thanks also to IP&J Cuban Foods, authentic Cuban food with a South Florida twist, featuring premier Cuban sandwiches, plantain nachos, traditional Cuban plates, and more. IP&J Cuban is on Facebook and Instagram. Listen locally. Working in concert with people to embrace opportunities, listen locally and engage in shared experiences, including music, theater, poetry, dialogue, and conversation. More on Facebook, Instagram, and listenlocally.net. The Griffin Gate Marriott Resort and Spa is the ideal choice for your next visit to Lexington, Kentucky. AccuPrint, providing printing, design, and fulfillment. Online at AccuPrint.us.
Support for Red Barn Radio also comes from LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. And Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. More information on what Lexington has to offer is at visitlex.com. Red Barn Radio's executive producer is Ed Commons, who also directs our show. Associate producer and booking manager is Warren Cobb. The music for this episode was mixed by Adam Schettinger. The Red Barn Radio playout theme, Wookie Foot, was taken from a live performance of The Wooks here on Red Barn Radio. WookoutAmerica.com. You can attend a Red Barn Radio concert in person. Performance times and dates are at RedBarnRadio.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be here on this station next week at the same time as we celebrate the music and artists of this Kentucky region. I'm the voice of Red Barn Radio, Tom Brown. Red Barn Radio is a production of Red Barn Radio, LLC.